Let's get back to our lead story, Michael Wolff's scathing forthcoming book about the Trump White House fire and fury. We want to look at it from a reporting perspective with NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik. Hi, David.
Hey, Robin.
So in the New York Magazine and the Hollywood Reporter, Michael Wolff says he had permission from the president to take up something like a semi-permanent seat on a couch in the West Wing. No ground rules, no handlers. Now, that happened in the Netflix series House of Cards. But does that happen in real life? You know, your thoughts on that.
Well, it does when you have a president as unconventional as this one. You have somebody in the president himself, Donald Trump, who in a sense grew up as an adult in a tabloid newspaper world here in New York. Michael Wolff is a figure, used to be a leading figure at New York Magazine, has written for The Hollywood Reporter, other places, Vanity Fair, that are important to the president. And he's interviewed the president prior to the election. So, you know, Michael Wolff played the long game here. He courted the president. He courted people around him. He courted, stayed in the corner of the late Fox News chairman Roger Ailes, who for a time advised the president, even amid the sexual harassment scandal that brought him down at Fox News, and courted Steve Bannon as well. Mm-hmm. It doesn't surprise me that he got the access that he boasted to me that he would get when he and I had lunch during the Republican National Convention in the summer of 2016.
Well, and so you mentioned having lunch with him. Tell us more about Wolff's reputation and his credibility. Paul Farhi in the Washington Post reminds us today there are questions about how he recounts conversations without taking notes. People who say he doesn't just recreate scenes, he creates them wholesale. They give an example we mentioned earlier. There's an exchange in the book between Roger Ailes and President-elect Trump. Ailes suggests Trump pick former Speaker John Boehner as his chief of staff. Wolff writes, Trump's response is, who's that? But Farhi points out Trump's tweeted about Boehner crying. He seems to know who he is. So talk about his credibility. Wolff's.
Well, let's look at the Boehner thing very briefly. You know, there are a couple different scenarios there, one of which is Wolff is totally wrong, one of which is, as he suggests in a number of points in the excerpts of the book and the book itself, you know, Trump does not have a mastery of all of his knowledge and facts. He sort of ends a piece in the Hollywood Reporter today saying that Trump, over the New Year's party at Mar-a-Lago in Florida, his resort, didn't recognize old friends, a very troubling suggestion and one that you know, it's not clear what to make of entirely. And it's also worth pointing out that other people aides to Trump for the campaign, the White House, have access to the president's Twitter account. So some of those things mentioning Boehner might not have been him, although I think they very much sounded like Trump himself. Look, Michael Wolff likes to be close to the action. He's a guy who is fascinated with power. He courts it. He's interested in it. He sucks up to it in a sense. But he's also proven himself of being able to sting and bite hard with the revelations that he gets once he acquires that access. You know, if he had talked to Rupert Murdoch about it beforehand, he wrote a biography of Murdoch, which I know well. And one of the things he did was got great access there and then was, you know, sort of loathed by people in the Murdoch camp for what he revealed to the public. I think that if you look at claims, how could he possibly know about what Steve Bannon and Roger Ailes said to each other at private dinner? Well, it turns out, not contradicted by Steve Bannon and Roger Ailes, of course, now dead, Wolff hosted the dinner. So there are ways in which he's present at a lot of these things that I think people don't quite believe. I think it's hard to dismiss this stuff. He is said to have, you know, many dozens, scores of hours of tapes of all the people many of the people he talked to for this.
Oh, my goodness, which means we might be hearing them because the president has gone after his former, you know, political soulmate, Steve Bannon, issuing a cease and desist letter against Bannon. He's accusing Bannon of violating the non-disclosure agreement he signed when he was with the Trump organization. It's interesting, those non-disclosures came up in the sexual harassment cases as well, and is saying that Bannon is likely defaming the president. Bannon last night said very nice things about President Trump on a Breitbart radio show, maybe in response to that cease and desist letter. Who knows? Trump lawyers also sent a letter to Wolff and his book's publisher, Henry Holt & Company, demanding they cease and desist any further publication, release, or dissemination of the book.
They could not have asked for any better advertisement for their book. You know, it could not have been a better campaign for them. You know, if what Trump sees these things are as being damaging, you know, it suggests that he thinks there's something there. And one of the things about the book that's interesting, you know, you've seen reporters for the New York Times say, this isn't really new. Mm-hmm. We've really read all this stuff. We know there's internal dissension. We knew that they didn't plan to expect to win the presidency. We knew that some of the people don't respect the president all that much. But there are a number of things, for example, that Steve Bannon, who had been his campaign chairman and had been his chief strategist, basically accused, in a sense, people as close to Trump, including his son, Donald Jr., of a kind of treason or at least stupidity in meeting with Russians at Trump Tower. And that one of his former aides who quit, according to Wolf's account, believed there could have been obstruction of justice. This was a former aide who had served in the Justice Department under former President George W. Bush. You know, these are serious claims to be coming from inside the House, not just outside of it.
Maggie Haberman of The Times also tweeted that the main difference in the book versus what we've known is that Bannon's on record, according to Wolf, saying there's something worth probing in Russia. Bannon talks about money laundering, relations with a bank. So we're going to be parsing all of this in the coming days. And the book is number one bestseller already on Amazon, not even out yet. David Folkenflik, NPR media correspondent, thank you as always.
You bet.